This is the Truth Network. Matt Slick is president and founder of the Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry. Matt is a Master of Divinity and is ordained. He's passionate, and Matt stands firm and lives to defend and promote the Christian faith. Monday through Friday, Matt takes calls from all around the world on his radio show. We've compiled this week's best. Matt Slick's Top 6.
Number 6.
Are there any female angels?
Not that I'm aware of, but I've written an article on it in Zechariah 5:9. Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and there were two women were coming out with the wind in their wings, and they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the ephod between the earth and the heavens. And so that's the only place I could find where it might refer to angels in the feminine. And so the context is that there's a flying scroll. Its dimensions were 20 cubits long and 10 cubits wide. The scroll represents the curse upon those who steal and swear falsely by God's name. And then a woman is personified as wickedness. Two women coming out with the wind in their wings. The women are going to build a temple. My notes here say, contextually, the figures spoken of in verse 9 are not angels. They're representative of wickedness and not dealing with angels. So it does not look like, that I'm aware of, any place in the Bible where angels are in the feminine. Now, if anybody knows of another verse, let me know. You know, I'll go check it out, because I don't have the Bible memorized.
Number 5.
There's not one single ambiguous statement in the scriptures that Jesus said that he is God or said to worship him. What do you think about that?
He'd say, well, you know, you're right. There's not a specific statement that says, where Jesus says, I am God. You're right. Those words are not there. So what?
So he's trying to prove that Jesus is saying he's not God, basically, or claiming to be God. That's what he's saying.
No. Hear me out. I say to them, so what? Because I've got a lot more to come back with, okay? I'm asking him one thing. He's focusing on one thing. There's no statement. I've had this happen many times with Muslims. Where does Jesus ever say, I am God? And I've already got 15 things I can say. I say, well, he never says those three words. I said, so what about it? Mm-hmm. He goes, see, he's not God. I said, okay. He never says also, I am a prophet. So I guess he's not a prophet because he doesn't say that either, right? See, you let them give you the rope. Don't try and refute them right away. Just let them, okay, so then that would mean, okay, so you're saying that means he's not God. Okay, well, does it ever say in the Bible, I am a prophet? Or does it say in the Quran? You can ask him, does it say in the Quran, I am a prophet?
Number 4.
Nope, there's no place where it says I am a prophet in the Quran. So there you go. The logic doesn't work, okay? But what I'll often do is say, well, want me to show you where he's called God? By God? By God the Father? Hebrews 1:8. But of the Son, he says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. I says, there you go. God is calling him God. So this supports a Trinity. And, well, that's corrupted. It's not this. Look, I'll tell him. All you do is you look at the Bible and you do what's called an external critique. You judge it from what the Quran says. And then you say the Bible's wrong because the Quran says so. Well, that doesn't make any difference if it's true or false. I could easily say the Quran's false because the Bible says so. Well, the Bible's been corrupted. Show me where. Show me how. And I've got this challenge out to Muslims. Give me a list of the things that Jesus said, the red letters in the Gospels, that he said that are true and not true, that are correct and not correct. I'd love to have that list. Because if they gave me a list, all I could do is just do some textual analysis and historical analysis of any manuscripts and say, is there any variant here? Is there anything? Is this what it says? I use the evidence against it, but they won't do that because they don't want to think very deeply. Not very many Muslims will think very deeply.
Number 3.
The Chosen. What is your opinion?
I've watched all of it. I'm enjoying it.
I kind of like the way it portrays Jesus, the man. Do you think it's a good tool to use, especially for those that are young in their faith?
As far as a good tool, I don't know, because there's so much more than just that series. But what it's doing is it's showing him from a very human perspective, and that's fine. I don't have any problem with it, and I've looked for problems. You know, there's a few things I wouldn't have had him do or say a couple of things different ways. It's more important that Christ is presented. And what I've noticed in the first part of the series, they didn't focus on his deity. But what happened was I think it was in the beginning of this season, he started proclaiming his deity. And it was a couple things I remember. Yeah. I was watching and I went, whoa, that is him claiming to be God. And it was clear.
Number two.
In my opinion, I would much rather have Jesus Christ be portrayed in such a manner than not. It's affecting a lot of lives, and apparently for the better. Now, he's working with Mormons, and I know that. Mormons are not Christians. I get that. I'm not going to say yes or no to that, whatever. That's between him and God and them, the guy's producing it. But I've looked for nothing in there has been Mormon theology, like God, you know, from another planet and things like that, and a goddess wife.
Yeah.
Nothing like that is there. So, okay, you know, it's getting preached. I can't complain about that. And so the initial movement of the Holy Spirit is regeneration. The evidence to people that the Holy Spirit is in you is not just speaking in tongues. It's glorifying the Lord Jesus. Because Jesus says in John 15:26, he says, when the Helper comes, that's the Holy Spirit, whom I will send you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. The main work of the Spirit is to bear witness of Christ. And so if the Spirit of Christ is in you, then ultimately you're going to want to bear witness of Jesus. You're going to want to talk about Jesus, because that's what the Spirit's ministry is to do that. Jesus says so, John 15:26. When people start saying, get baptized to the Holy Ghost, and do the evidence of speaking in tongues, and that's how you know. No, it's not. See, the evidence of speaking in tongues in Acts chapter 2 is a movement of the pouring of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is prophesied in the Old Testament to be poured. You can go to Joel 2:28-29, and I think it's cross-referenced in Acts 2:17-18. And you can also go to Acts 10:44-45. I think it's verse 45. It says the evidence of the Holy Spirit has been poured out on them because they were speaking in tongues and exalting God. So notice what happens. If people will say, well, they're speaking in tongues in Acts chapter 2. That's the evidence. It is one of the evidences.
Happy trails to you until we meet again.
Goodbye, goodbye, oh, goodbye.
Now I had the time of my life.
I hope you had the time of your life.
It's okay now. Goodbye, my friend.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Matt Slick's Top 6. For more on Matt and his live syndicated call-in radio show, go to truthnetwork.com. Got a question? Matt Slick has your answer. This is the Truth Network.